After the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
John, the Gospel according to St. John, chapter number 15. We're going to look at verse 1 through verse, we'll attempt to get to verse number 9. And again, somewhat doctrinal, but I think it's a message that we all need to hear. Amen. When you have Gospel of St. John chapter 15, verse 1, and you're looking at it, say, I have the word, and I'm ready to receive it. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abide in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye could do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love.
Amen.
Amen. Going along with the series of introducing Jesus, I want to say he's the source of life. Amen. Simple messages, you know, not trying to get deep into it, but because I want people to understand the simplicity of the gospel is much more important than trying to dive deep and losing people. So I want everybody to get something here. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So he is the source of life. Introducing Jesus, the source of life. Gospel according to St. John is written to everybody. It's written so that we all may know who Jesus is. That's why he wrote the gospel. It's believed that John, again, was a kinfolk or cousin of Jesus Christ. We know that he was related by blood somehow to Jesus, and but that's not what qualified him to write this letter or this book. What qualified him was his love for Jesus and Jesus' love for him. The one thing I admired about John's gospel is that he continued to write the disciple that Jesus loved. One thing, brothers and sisters, that we must be convinced about is that he loves us. We must be convinced that he loves us more than anything and anybody else. And so John was convinced of the love of God. And not only was he convinced that God loved us, but he loved him so much that he was the only disciple that went all the way to the cross, that laid eyes on the suffering Jesus and stood at the foot of the cross to comfort the mother of the dying Savior. Now, his dedication was that he continued to preach the same message. You know how we preachers, our messages change as we get older. You know, we had a focus on something at one point, then now we focus on something else. But John's message, until he was over 100 years old, stayed the same. If you read 1st, 2nd, 3rd, those little letters that he wrote, you'll find out that he wrote all about what? Love. The key verse in this gospel is John 3:16. And you know what it says? We should. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Now what John was doing was trying to let us know and to reveal to us that God is love. But we've looked at him as judgment constantly. We've looked at him as the God that stands around the corner waiting to catch us doing something wrong, to send us to hell. You know, he's provided a way that we don't have to go there. He doesn't send us. We send ourselves. Oh, come on and say amen.
Amen.
So I'm trying to introduce to you the source of life, Jesus. And when we get into this and I start to look at What we really need to understand from this, some of the stuff that I would like to say, the Lord said, just go with what I'm telling you to go with. Amen. And so I'm just going to jump into it, if you don't mind, and look at verse number one. He says, I am the true vine. Now, the first thing that we understand and we should see in verse one is that he's genuine. There's no other like him. He is the true vine. And so what does that mean? He is suggesting in the text that there may be some other stuff out there that people connect to, but it's not real. That he is the source. Come on and say amen here. He is the genuine source of life. And so he's letting us know that there may be some counterfeits, because there is a lot of counterfeits. I believe on last night I heard Pastor Claiborne talking. He was talking about counterfeit preaching, counterfeit preachers. Amen. But the preacher should be able to connect you to the genuine vine, Jesus Christ. The only reason that we preach is to connect you to him, not to connect you to us. I think there's so many people connect with people that they forget that they need to connect with God, so that when something happened with the person, they give up on God. You can't give up on God, because someday people will fail. Someday somebody's going to die. Someday they're going to leave your life. And so you need to connect with God through the person of Jesus Christ. So he's genuine. He's the, as we would, Elijah McCoy would say, he's the real McCoy. Come on and say amen. He's the real McCoy. There may be some counterfeit religions. There may be some other ways that people say you should worship. But you got to understand that the only real worship is if your worship is centered around Jesus Christ. You cannot have worship any other way. The rest of it is idol worship. The rest of it is pagan worship. Until you understand who Jesus is and understand that he is genuine and he is divine, that we should connect to, our worship is vain. So he's the source. But it goes on in verse 1 that says, and my father is the husbandman. Now, what he's saying here is that the husbandman, the father, the pater in the Greek, he's the husbandman, or basically he's saying that my father is the gardener. Lord help me today. In other words, he's saying that God is the one that plants people in the place that they need to be. God is the one, and we thought that we chose Jesus. We thought that we chose him, but before you were born, he already knew who you was, and he already knew when you would accept the thing that he had done. That you would accept the dying on the cross and the resurrection from the dead. He already knew. The Bible tells us that we are elected by him. We are chosen by him. Jesus even told the disciples, he says that you didn't choose me, but I chose you. And didn't I choose even one of them that's going to be a devil? He said, I already know. And if God already knows and he's already chosen you, then we just need to walk in our chosen abilities. Amen. And so we've been chosen. We've been handpicked by God. Boy, that's special. That a God as big as he is would look at somebody as small as I am and decide to pick me out of the bunch. Lord, help me today. Y'all, that's something. A God that is so big that he created the heaven and earth. He put the sun, the moon, and the stars in their place. And he's bigger than those things. Come on and say amen. And he did it by his word, decided to look at me and pick me out of the bunch while I was hanging under the tree. While I was doing my thing. He told Jeremiah, he says, I knew you before you were in your mother's womb. He said, I had a plan for you to be a prophet to the nations. Now, if he can tell Jeremiah that, he can tell me. Oh, Lord, help me. He said, the father is the what? Gardener. He's the gardener. And so if he's the gardener, that means that he plants and he puts whatever he wants to in his garden. Now, sometimes we may not like what's in the garden, because in order for the garden to grow, sometimes you put some manure in it. Oh, Lord, help me today. And some of us been complaining about the manure in our life, but guess what? The manure is what makes us grow. In other words, the fertilizer, let me be nice today, the fertilizer makes us grow. And sometimes we don't want the fertilizer because we feel like we're underneath a whole bunch of stuff. We are underneath some stuff, but guess what? You can grow right through it. The power of a seed is that even though you put it in the ground, as small as it is, it finds a way to bust open and come up out of the ground like nothing else. So the ground can't even hold it. I don't know about you, but you ever seen grass come through the concrete? That goes to show you how powerful you are. I don't care what the enemy puts on you. I don't care what God allows to happen in your life. You can come through whatever it is that's put on top of you. But what we got to learn how to do is embrace and get the nutrients from whatever it is. I got to take what I need to take from this mess. Come on. I got to take whatever I need to take and then grow right through this whole mess. God is the gardener. And sometimes he comes through the garden and he sees stuff that he wants to put in there and he put it there. So you can't choose what he puts beside you. Lord, help me today. I know we want to choose and pick what goes beside us. If God wants to put beans there, he can put beans there. If he wants to put okra in there, he can. All right. I don't like okra. It's itchy. It's slimy. If God wants to put it there, he's the gardener. You don't see them peppers telling somebody, I don't want to be in this garden beside the tomatoes. We need to understand that it's God's garden and he can put whatever he wants in there. Now, not only, look, when he says the husbandman, not only does he say, is he suggesting that God is the gardener, but he's saying God is the guardian. Lord, help me today. Well, somebody should have shouted on that because you've been wondering, how am I going to make it? God is not only the gardener, but he is the gardener. That's what he's saying. God is the guardian of your life. And so whenever you look at your life and you see the situations around your life, you need to say, I trust God that everything's going to be all right. He is the gardener and the guardian. Amen. And if God is the guardian, he'll give us just what we need. In other words, all I'm trying to tell you is that God is not only the provider, but he is the protector. Oh, hallelujah. God is the protector. And so he watches over the garden. He watches over what he's planted to make sure that it grows, to make sure that it produces. He looks at it. He watches over it to make sure that there's no insect that'll destroy it, to make sure nobody steals it. Come on and say amen, to make sure that it is protected. So that's why we say the name of the Lord is a strong tower and the righteous run to it and they are safe. We need to understand that God is our protection. He is our high hiding place. He is our guardian and he'll guard us on every side. He'll be our battlement for us. My God, my fortress. He's the protector. He's the place where we're protected. Amen. And so he will protect us. The Father is our protector. But then it goes on in verse 2. I know I'm not going to finish this because I already see now. Verse 2 says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he what? He takes away. Now, in the past, I've heard and I've said that he takes it away. In other words, he just takes it out of the garden. But that's not what that means. What that means is that if it's not bearing fruit, that means that particular branch might be laying in the dirt. So what God does, he props it up. He lifts it up. Lord have mercy. God, if you're not productive, God sees that you're not productive and he begins to take you with his own hand and he begins to lift you out of the dust so that you can produce what he intends for you to produce. And we've been worrying about whether or not things are going to work out. The Bible says in Psalm number 1 that whatsoever you do shall prosper, your leaf shall not wither. And oh, come on and say amen. And you'll bear fruit in your season. God intends for you to be fruitful. And since God intends for you to be fruitful, he will make a way for you to produce fruit. Maybe it's not the way you thought that you would produce fruit, but God is lifting you up out of the dirt. God is lifting you up out of the dust. He's lifting you up from beneath the dung so that you can produce. Lord, help me today. And so God lifts us up so that we can produce. But then it goes on to say that every branch that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. In other words, God begins to purge us. He begins to prune us. Now, you know what I like? You know what I like to talk about? I don't like prunes, but I like to talk about prunes. Because prunes does something for us. Oh, come on and say amen. Prunes does something for us. I used to wonder why the older people would eat prunes, but now that I'm older, I understand. Lord help me today. Prunes does something for us that candy can't do. Prune does something for us that bread won't do. Come on and say amen. Prunes move things. Lord help me now. And so sometimes God wants us, and even though we like the good ripe fruit, the good plump fruit, but sometimes we need to shrivel stuff so that we can get some stuff moved out of us, because sometimes our bowels are blocked and we can't love like we should. And the Bible says for us to open up our bowels of compassion, and sometimes your bowels are blocked with bitterness, and God is saying, I need to prune. So let me get this prune and give it. Lord help me today. And so you need to eat the prunes just like you eat the apples, so that it'll move some things in your life, so that you'll begin to produce the fruit. What is the fruit? The Bible says in Galatians 5:22 and 23, he said the fruit of the Spirit is love. Now, when we look at love, love has patience, love has long-suffering, love has kindness, love has meekness, it has temperance. All of this stuff is in love. And if we can just produce love as a church, if we can produce love as a Christian, then we are producing the fruit that God wants us to produce. But the problem is we can't produce love because of love. We can't produce love because we have agendas that are hidden agendas in our heart. But if we really love people, if we really have the Holy Ghost like we say we got it, the Bible says in Romans chapter 5 verse 5, he said that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And so if we have the Holy Spirit, we got enough love. We can't say that I can't love them. We can love them. We just got to get us out of the way. Is that all right today? Amen. May not make you shout, but it make you right. Amen. And let's go on a little further before I be too long. Now, verse 3 says, and now ye are clean through the word which I have what? Spoken unto you. You are clean through the word. Not only is he genuine and the true vine, the real deal, and God the Father is the gardener, the guardian, the provider, and the protector, but we find out here that our Savior is also a sanitizer. He's also saying he cleans us when he talks to us. I know some people said that, I'm going to get myself together, clean myself up, then I'm going to go to church. It's not going to happen. If you could do it, then you would have done it a long time ago. That's why every time you try to do it, you always go back to your old self. Every time you try to do right, you always end up in wrong. Even Paul, the great apostle, said, that I would do, I do not, that I would not, that's what I do. In other words, the stuff that I don't want to do, I end up doing all the time. Come on and say amen. And so he's saying here that when you hear the word of God, it ought to make you clean. Won't he make you clean inside? Oh, yeah, he will make you clean. But you know, and I remember, you can tell when you've been in a place where God is speaking through the man of God, because when you leave, you feel clean. I remember when I was young and I would go hear certain preachers, not all of them, but it was certain ones. I could hear them preach and I'd feel so clean that I wouldn't want to go be around my friends, because I knew I was going to get dirty again. I knew we was going to cuss and we was going to lie and we was going to act a fool, you know. So when I would hear him, I'd say, I don't want to be bothered. Sunday night, Monday, I wouldn't want to be bothered. By Wednesday, here I am back with those rascals and doing this. But I have to go back Sunday to get clean again. And it's something about being clean on the inside. You know, I'm not saying that I had a self-righteous spirit, but I just wanted to have that constant communion with God. And so in order to have that, the Savior cleans us up so that we can be able to come before God. That's why the blood of Jesus, it is the cleansing agent, and we can go boldly to the throne of grace and we can get mercy because of the cleansing power of the Savior. Look at what he says. You are clean through the word I have spoken unto you. When he talks about being clean, we gotta understand that we can be clean by the water, by the washing, by the word of God. Come on and say amen. The word of God is what washes us. The word of God is what cleans us. The word of God, it cleans and sanitizes us so that we can have that good clean spirit so that we can receive from God what God wants us to have. Amen. He cleans us. He washes us. And verse 4 says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide where? In me. Now notice this. Not only is he our sanitizer, but he's our supplier. Look at this. He says that abide in me. We got to dwell in him. All we have to do is be connected and stay connected. Somebody say stay connected. If we stay connected, then he will produce in us what needs to be produced. In other words, it's automatic. I'll tell somebody it's automatic. I can automatically love if I'm connected to Jesus. I can automatically do his will if I'm connected to Jesus. It's not a hard task for me to preach today because I'm connected. I wish I had some people that was connected. You have to be connected, and not just be connected, but stay connected, because there are some things that the enemy wants to do. He wants to put a kink in your card so that the connection will be interrupted. But we need to stay connected to God. And as we stay connected to him and hear his word, automatically what needs to be produced begins to produce in our life. So everything that you need, God said, is already in there. You already got it, but you need to stay connected in order for this life, that the life of Christ, to be manifested. You got to stay connected. It's not that we have to try so hard. All you got to do is just obey him and do what he says. And once you do that, all the things that he wants done in your life, it begins to happen in your life because you've been connected. You ain't got to say, well, I'm going to stop cussing. If you're connected, you're going to stop cussing. You ain't got to say that I'm going to stop drinking and smoking and doing this and doing that. If you stay connected, if you don't let something interrupt you and something get between you and God, then guess what? You will be able to do all the stuff that you really want to do. Because most of us, when we come to church, we are in church the person that we want to be all the time. But we can't be that person all the time because there are so many interruptions, so many things that get in between us and God. Sometimes we let people get between us and God. We let money get between us and God. We let whatever husband, friend, job, whatever, any kind of mess come up. We forget who we are. I put my Holy Ghost down in my religion too, and we become what we used to be or what we think we ought to be at the moment because of pride. But we got to get to a place where if I'm connected, I'm staying connected. I'm not putting no Holy Ghost down because he never put me down. As a matter of fact, he was the one that picked me up when I was down in the dust, in the day when nobody else would look my way. If it was not for the Lord on my side, where would I be? So I can't get disconnected from him, because he's my source, he's my supplier, he's my sanitizer, he's my guardian, he's my protector, he's my keeper, he's my all in all. Y'all gonna make me preach for amen, huh? Glory. I'm almost done here. He said, if you abide in me, he said, if you abide in me, and the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it what? Abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. And he that abided in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. He's sharing with us, look, you not only will bring forth fruit, but if you just stay with it, you're gonna bring forth more, much fruit. You're going to be a producer. You're going to be somebody that produces what God wants you to produce. Come on and say amen. Oh, yeah, you would have productivity out of this world if you just stay with it. Amen. Tell somebody, stay with it. Oh, yeah, we got to stay with it, because if we stay with it, the devil, he eventually going to realize that I can't mess with him. I need to mess with somebody around him. And then you can help them through their trial. Come on and say hallelujah. He says in verse 5, he says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do no thing. That's the one thing that we got to get in our head. Without him, it ain't nothing I can do. You know what? I can't live. I can't breathe. I can't move without him. He is the life. Amen. He is the light. He is the word. He's everything. He's my all in all. Without him, I can't exist. If he had not have spoken a word, you wouldn't be here today. So without him, I can't exist and I can do nothing. It is in him I move, live, and have my being. Without him, I'm nothing. And so why are we trying to be something without him? When he said you can't do nothing without me. We try to forget about him. We try to do what we got to do. Oh, yeah, I'll get back to him later on. Let me live my life. Let me do my thing. Let me be who I'm going to be. And later on, whatever's left of me, I'll give it to him. You can't even be that without him. If it was not for his mercy, you couldn't wander off. Come on and say amen, and then think that you're going to make it back. But that goes to show you, even when you don't realize it, you have as much trust in his mercy as you do in his grace. Because it is his mercy that you go out and do what you want to do. And then his mercy, everybody say, that, oh, well, I got the mercies of God. Well, that's true, because his mercies are what? New every morning. This morning when I rose, I got a new mercy. But you know what? His grace stays with me all day long. And so you know what? I love the mercies of God, but the mercies of God only hold back for a little while the things that's supposed to happen to me. But the grace says, you know what? I'm going to make sure that you get things that things begin to happen to you that wasn't supposed to happen to you. In other words, the good things that you don't deserve, I'm going to bless you with. The good things, that the eternal life that you really don't deserve, I'm going to give you. Come on and say amen. The things that we don't deserve, that's what grace gives us. The healing that we don't deserve, the deliverance that we don't deserve, grace gives it to us. Verse 6. If a man abide in me and he is cast forth as a branch, if you're supposed to be something, be what you're supposed to be. Don't be pretending. And is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. In other words, he said, if you don't abide in the true vine, if you're faking it and you ain't producing no fruit, if something happens to your connection and the life of Jesus is not operating through you, then you begin to wither. And so you know how you ever saw a tree that is still standing, but you can tell that it's dead? That's how when God looks at a person not connected in Jesus Christ, that's what you are. You may still be standing, but you're dead. Oh, come on and say amen. You're dead. And so he's saying here that if we don't abide in the true vine, the one thing I like about this, God shows us in this text that he deals with you as long as you're connected. Yeah. Look, if you're not producing right, he deals with you. He lifts you up so that you can produce. He watches over you. He does all of this if you're connected. But then when you start to wither, God don't deal with you no more. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Stick a fork in you, you're done. Look at what he says here. It says that God does not leave you in the garden either. But men begin to deal with you. Look at what he said. Oh, yeah. He said, God says, I don't use you if you're withered. I let men use you. Now, you don't want to be used by God? Somebody's going to use you until they use you up. What did the men do? Let's look at it. He says that men gather them and cast them in the fire and they are burned. Why do men put them in the fire? For their comfort and their convenience. Whether it's for the cooking, whether it's for the staying warm or whatever, but men use them for their comfort and their convenience. All I'm trying to tell you this morning is that if you don't let God use you, then he turns you over to man and then man takes you and use you up. So you might as well let God use you. Oh, Lord. This is not the first Sunday message you wanted in 2016. Y'all just bear with me, amen? If you don't let God use you, then man can use you. Man uses you up till you are no more. And you know what? They won't even say thank you. They won't say thank you. They won't say appreciate you, nothing. That's what you're supposed to do. Let me use you. But if you let the Lord use you, he'll say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things, and I'll make you ruler over many. Yes. Then he gives you a place. He gives you a place. Let's go on. Let me finish. He says in verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Look at the promise of answered prayer.